We all know that certainly in this field, the only potential way of curing people with liver metastasis from this disease is with surgical resection. It's not with targeted agents, not with chemotherapy, it's not with radiofrequency ablation, frankly. It's not with intra-arterial chemotherapy. It's with curative surgical resection. And we also know that only about 10 to 15% at the most of individuals who present with liver metastasis are candidates for hepatic resection. Now, that's probably increased in the last several years because of some of the techniques that we have. But in considering that, the overwhelming majority of patients, when they present, are not resectable. What has happened in the last couple of years is these newer agents have now taken unresectable people and converted them to resectable. And again, since that's the only potential way of curing these individuals, from the surgical standpoint, that has brought in more patients for possible resection than we've seen in the past. I think, frankly, in colorectal surgery in general, liver is really the last frontier in this disease site. The last frontier in many areas in terms of its activities, what it does, we still don't know a lot about it, about the organ itself, but especially in terms of treatment and converting unresectable to resectable people.
Can you talk a little bit about how you evaluate a patient or approach a patient clinically with liver-only metastasis in terms of determining they're in either group A, that they're resectable now, group B could be resectable, and group C, not going to happen?
Yeah. Well, I'm probably a little bit different than my colleagues. When a patient comes to me for possible liver resection, I'm looking for a reason not to operate on them. So let's assume that they have no comorbid conditions or they're surgical candidates. That's the first question I ask myself. And then part of this is their evaluation. One of the things you want to make sure of, or two things, is one, whatever disease they have in their liver, prior to operation, does it look like it's resectable disease? And that's depending on size, number of lesions. We all know this. But two, and most importantly, do they have any evidence of extrahepatic disease? Because in my mind, I think most of my colleagues' minds, although there's a shift, and we'll talk about this in a moment, certainly extrahepatic disease is a contraindication of resection off any type of trial or protocol in my mind. And I know there's this undercurrent because of these agents that we've had to take patients with extrahepatic disease and resect them along with their liver disease. And I think that needs to be done on trial, on protocol to do that. So the first thing I look for, first two things, do they have any comorbid conditions that would prevent me from operating on them? Do they have resectable liver disease by mechanisms that we have today, which are basically CT scan, double contrast, and or MRI?
Resectable and looking for what?
Resectable in terms of my ability to resect the lesions that they have for potential cure.
With how much liver being removed?
Well, I think it's been shown that you can remove around 70, 75% of liver, and it is the only organ in the body that will grow back to somewhat of its original size and capabilities. And then looking for extrahepatic disease. And in this day and age, PET scanning will help with that a little bit. I actually use PET scanning more to determine if there's anything going on outside of the liver rather than what's going on inside the liver. And then at the time of surgery, and I think many surgeons across the country don't do this, is doing a good exploration, especially in the porta hepatis and celiac area, to make sure there's no extrahepatic disease.
In terms of, again, the patient who you consider not resectable at the moment, but has the potential for resectability, can you talk about the clinical scenario of those patients?
Yeah, well, I think those patients need a true multidisciplinary approach to their disease. So there has to be input from the surgeon and from the medical oncologist. And I think in those individuals, if they're going to be treated up front, and more than likely they will be treated up front with agents like FOLFOX, with bevacizumab, that they have to be followed because there's going to be a window of opportunity if those patients are converted from unresectable to resectable for whatever reason. And so there's got to be constant communication between the medical oncologist and the surgical oncologist while these patients are being treated, that after the first two cycles, they get reevaluated to see if they've been converted to resectable disease.
What are you looking for in terms of resectability? And maybe this is just naive because I'm a medical oncologist. Is it just really volume of disease and location?
I think it's a combination, Neil. It's a volume of disease, and you can have one or two lesions that are strategically located that you're not going to be able to resect. And they may be located strategically at the outflow tract, at the hepatic vein area. So it's really a combination of location, volume involvement, number of lesions, et cetera.
I have to ask you about something I heard in a meeting I had never heard about. It was a patient who presented with what would have been was a single liver met but also had peritoneal disease. And somebody mentioned, quote, peritonectomy, which I had never heard of.
Yeah. Basically, as you know, the abdominal cavity is lined by a peritoneum, if you will. And where you hear a lot about peritonectomy are in people who have carcinomatosis. Paul Sugarbaker has been a real advocate of this over the years for GI cancer, especially colorectal, where patients present with carcinomatosis and they need cytoreductive surgery, which could include removing the peritoneal lining of the abdominal cavity. Now, to get back to that, in a scenario where you have someone with hepatic metastasis that's resectable technically and they have peritoneal implantation, there's really no role for resecting those patients up front. Those patients need systemic chemotherapy initially.
Yeah, and that was the conclusion of this group.